So tonight's topic in the Pele Yoetz is Achila Ushasiya, eating and drinking. His opening comment is quite revolutionary. He says that we classify all of activities, all of human behavior, to one of three different categories. It's either a mitzvah, which means it's obligatory, or it's a heter, which means it's permissible, it's powerful, it has no status. You know, it's voluntary, you take your decision on your own. The iser, then the third category, is something that's prohibited. And he says that, where do we classify achila ushasiya, eating and drinking? Well, on the one hand, we have certain cases where there's what?
It's eser.
It's non-kosher food.
It's all three.
On the other hand, we have cases where
It's a chiyuv.
It's a mitzvah. Then you have cases which, you know, the Torah didn't command me to eat this. You know, I have a kosher piece of salmon in front of me. It's kosher, but there's no mitzvah to eat the salmon. No iser, no mitzvah. Here's his revolution. He says, with regard to this middle category called heter, yesh biyad ha'adam, it's in the hands of man, lasos, to make every single achila, as long as it's an achila's heter, which you're allowed to partake in, l'seudas mitzvah. You have the choice, you have the power within your hands to transform and to upgrade this action, which is a heter, into a mitzvah. Bitztarif elav hatnoim anemorim pi emes mi pi sofrim asher mi pi emanu chaim. He says, all we have to do is add those conditions, fulfill those conditions, which were taught to us, which were transmitted to us with truth from our rabbis, from whose mouth we live. What's the first of those conditions that, if met, have potentially the ability to transform, to upgrade our achilas heter into an achilas mitzvah? Tzorch lechaven b'achiloso, one possibility is kavana. Kavana means, why are you eating? And he says, shiyei bari, for the sake of health, v'chazak, and in order to be strong. La'avoda sakel, for the sake of worshipping God. If that's your idea, if that's your purpose, if you're motivated to eat, not purely for pleasure, but for health purposes, so that you'll be strong enough to serve Hashem, you've converted your achila, your eating, into a mitzvah. And now he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Leos gomel nafsho ish chesed. He can do a chesed for his own nefesh, for his own self, because if he eats it as a secular action, it's okay, it's kosher food, but he will not get rewarded for it. If he wants to bring the good upon himself, then he can do a chesed for himself and just have the right kavana. And there's an amazing concept here, which I want to embellish. I gave you a page which has the number 1 on it. It's the second page in your little handout. And this book, called Gedolei HaChassidus, is a history book. I don't usually quote history books, but in this case, he tells you in this book, it's a fascinating book about the history of one of the great giants of Chassidut, called Reb Tzadok HaKohen. He's most famous for his work, The Pre-Tzadik, which has tremendous insights based on Chassidic thought into the parsha. He came from the city of Lublin. His early childhood was not in Chassidus. In fact, he was only exposed to Chassidic thought later in his day. In his childhood, he was what you call a typical Lithuanian Jew, with the perspective of almost anti-Chassidus. They were misnagdim. But he met a great Chassidic rabbi called the Izbisher. And he was so influenced, so taken by this rabbi, that he slowly but surely became one of the greatest of Chassidim. And his work is a classic amongst Chassidic thought. In this history book, he tells you that one of the great transitions in his life when he became a Chassid was in the realm of eating and drinking. And he says that during this period of time that he became very deeply involved in the study of Hasidic thought and Kabbalistic writings, when he was engrossed in these thoughts, and he would from time to time travel to his Rebbe, the Izbicher, he got involved in what's called Shleimut Nafsho, to try to perfect his soul. And how did he do so? He dedicated nights like days to the study of Torah, and specifically to the study of Hasidic thought and Kabbalah. But not only that, he picked up some very pious customs, and he became very aesthetic, which means he would abstain, he was very disciplined from eating meat. He would only eat meat on Shabbos or at a Seudas Mitzvah. And then, as time went on, he became even more strict. And he vowed, avowed himself from eating food except for a Seudas Mitzvah. And obviously, if a person doesn't eat except for a Seudas Mitzvah, you know, he gets invited to a Siyum or to a Bris, he gets invited to a Pidgin HaBen, to a wedding. But barring those rare, or Shabbos meals, Yontif, barring those occasions, he would not eat. And the fact that he stopped eating came to the attention of his Rebbe, of the Izbicher. And the Izbicher said to him, "You must come and see me." And when he came to see him, he said, "I heard this about you. And I decree upon you that every night, no matter what, you set up a seuda and eat a proper dinner." And of course, Rav Tzadok HaKohen did exactly that. And when he ate his meals at night, he was very happy because he knew that he was eating a seudas mitzvah. What mitzvah was it? There was no pidgin HaBen or bris. But since his Rebbe commanded him, and he was now fulfilling his Rebbe's will, therefore, every time he sat down to eat, he would declare, "Hareini holich l'kayim mitzvah. I am now prepared to fulfill a mitzvah, l'shmoa b'divrei chachamim, to obey the words of the rabbis, of the scholars." And every day, he would take upon himself to complete an entire mesechet, and he would make a siyum, and he wouldn't eat until he completed the mesechta. And this he took upon himself, chok v'lo yavar, as an absolute rule. Until he finished the mesechta, he wouldn't eat. And on Shabbos, he took upon himself to learn two mesechtas. Mesechta Shabbos and Mesechta Erevin. Now, personally, if I took upon myself to learn Mesechta Shabbos, it would take me at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. It's the largest mesechta in Shas. Erevin would take me 5 years. It's absolutely complicated. Okay. It's easier to take advanced math and computers. And
he did the whole thing.
The whole thing, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, every Shabbos.
Every week.
Every week. Week in and week out.
It must have been a speed reader.
And when they asked him, "Why is it that you're so limited in what you're eating and you only eat when you know it's a mitzvah, with a siyum, and you finish a mesechta, a Shabbos?" And he said the following: "Mi she'ta'am tam chet yiras chet miyomov." Anyone who understands from his youth that what the taste of sin is about, and then nichnas v'darkei hachasidus, then he's uplifted, and he follows in the way of Hasidic thought. Yodea, he knows. Ki hascholas achsidus, the very beginning of being a chassid, is lekadesh, to sanctify achila shetehe b'kedusha, that his eating should be sanctified. And he quotes a Tanit Be'elio, which is a brisa, it's a very old rabbinic source, who claims ad she'odem ispalel al divrei Torah she'ikanse l'toch me'ov, a person should pray to Hashem that the Torah that he studies should enter into his stomach, meaning be part of his essence. Yispalel, even more important, is that he prayed to Hashem al achilu shtia, that the physical food, lo yikanes l'tokmeyav, should not impact on his soul. because the physical food, the material food per se, is not related to Kiddusha. It's not sanctified, and you don't want to put into your system something that's not sanctified. So the only thing I would eat once I entered into the world of Hasidic thought, and I was impacted by the Hasidic drachim, the way they observe Hashem, serve Hashem, is to limit my achilah and make sure to guarantee that every achilu shasiyah that I engage in is always kedusha. It's always for the purpose of a mitzvah. So if we get back to the Peleoetz, then just to summarize the first point of the Peleoetz, potentially every achilah, every suda that you engage in has the potential to be uplifted to the status of a suda's mitzvah. But what do you have to do in order to guarantee that, in order to make that transition? What's the agent? Kavana. And what should your kavana be? I am doing this in order to serve Hashem. That makes it into a suda's mitzvah.
We said earlier today, one of your earlier shirim, how do you know something, an action is a mitzvah? There's a bracha assigned to it. So when we eat, we must say a bracha. So it's saying the bracha, does that automatically make the eating a mitzvah? Or as Amaraba, eating makes forces you to say a bracha?
So if you have the Peleoetz, in the next paragraph, he's going to make another contribution to this concept of if you fulfill the right conditions, you could upgrade your achila into a sudas mitzvah. And that's going to focus on the bracha. But just before we get to the second paragraph, I wanted to point out to you that very often the Peleoetz himself, although he was not part of the Hasidic movement, he belonged to the Sephardic background, but he's very influenced by the Kabbalah. And therefore, here in the first paragraph, he quotes a Zohar. And the Zohar tells us that every piece of food that exists on the face of the earth has what's called in it Nitzotzei Kiddusha, literally means the spark of holiness. And it's davuk, it's completely clinging to the ochel, or to the drink that he drinks. And now he needs divine help, and therefore he prays to God, that his mazon, his physical eating, should be li'ar, Lahotzi La'ar, to bring out into the light all these sparks of Kedusha. And therefore, before he engages in eating, he should lift his eyes to Shemayim with a tefillah and ask Hashem to help him take out these nitzotzos of Kedusha, which means to sanctify the food. The food is physical, it's material, it's not sanctified per se, but it has within it, according to the Zohar, some sort of spark, some sort of element that's hidden from the naked eye of sanctity. And now you have to bring out that sanctity. And in a footnote, he tells you to look in another book that he authored. And in that book, he actually created a nusach, a special presentation of how and what you should say before you start eating in order to invoke divine assistance. Then he sends you to another book called the Reishis Chachma, which is a very Hasidic work based on Kabbalah. And in that work, the author of the work applauds and praises human beings who have the ability to build shamayim, to build heavenly spiritual entities out of achila, out of something so physical. And that's Bilvachi Chavin Libo LaShamayim. He has the right kavana in mind. And he goes on to quote another sefer called the Yosef Ometz from the Chidah, who emphasizes Netilas Yadayim, that we have to make sure before we eat to wash our hands, and that, he says, will sanctify our achila. Because according to the Reishis Chachma, the concept of washing one's hands before one's food is based on what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen, before he did the Avodah, he needed what's called Rechitzas Yodayim V'Raglayim. He had to wash his hands and his feet. And that's a precondition to any Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a kiyar like they have in the Beis HaMikdash, a sink, or there's a more sophisticated word which I forgot what it is, a lat, what?
I know what you mean.
Laver, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, right.
We don't have that holy vessel.
A basin.
A basin.
Yeah.
So what we do is we do Netilas Yadayim instead. And that also sanctifies what we eat as if we were an Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, in the second paragraph, he says, when a person comes to bless God, Levarech Eskono, to bless his maker, his creator, before he sits down and eats a meal, Yilbash Charada, he should be overwhelmed by a certain awesome fear of his creator, to recognize the greatness of the fact that his min mizono ushar hanos, that God designated for him and made it possible for him to enjoy the food that sustains him. And he says, tzarech lizor ma'od, he should be very careful, levarech abrochos kitikunam. And again, we have a tendency of just, you know, blurting out the bracha without being meticulous about thinking and enunciating each part of the bracha. He says, os be'os, teva be'teva, letter by letter, word by word, he should recite the bracha very slowly. Uma gam ba'askaras Hashem, when he gets the name of God in the bracha, is kol atzmo sov yachazei merod, his whole body should shake, because he has to be aware of the fact that he's uttering the name of God, and when he pronounces the name of God, he's really standing in the presence of the Maker, of the eternal, infinite God. Ki es melech Hashem tzvachos rom v'nisa yisa bracha. He's bringing this bracha in front of Hashem. V'im lo yizor chas v'shalom. If when he makes the bracha, he's not careful, and he mentions the name of God just by rote, haphazardly, Harehu Megadefes Hashem. It's like cursing Hashem. It's like disrespectful to God. And all this depends upon his kavana, on what he has in mind. Lachey, the bottom line, he says, is Tzarech Lizor B'chol HaBrachos. Be very careful about the brachot that you recite, Befrat, and especially Birkas HaNenim, because we have different categories of bracha. In the case of Birkas HaNenim, when we thank Hashem for what we have, if we don't have the right kavan in mind, and we don't intend to thank God for providing us with these pleasures, then it's as if we're usurping these pleasures which really belong to God. The only way we can get license to enjoy the pleasures of this world is if we recite a bracha. Ubi yoser, and how much more so after we finish our meal, the birkas hamazon, that's a mitzvah d'orais, how much more so do we have to stand in awe of God and have the right intention, lo b'nei shi'a rucha, not because of its length in comparison, in contrast to other brachos, but make sure it's not chatufa, you don't just, you know, gobble it all up. Rak arucha kedas uka halacha, but he should say it exactly the way the halacha presents it. And he says that we have to be so careful about a bracha in front of Hashem. It's Oyom v'nora, and the very fact that we have the opportunity to thank Hashem, Hashem Yichazdo Agol, God with His compassion, His great compassion, Hirshenu, He gave us license, permission, levarcho, to thank Him. Who am I? I'm a mortal man. I'm like a flea on the back of an elephant, and I have the right to stand in front of the Lord, the King of Kings, and bless Him, lahazkir shmo, and to mention His name, which is nichbad v'nora. If he realizes all this and he has that awe and the respect, the fear in front of God when he recites the bracha and he says God's name, l'mitzvah yichashiv lo, he gets a tremendous mitzvah. And kovel lanu schar ubracha al bracha, he'll get rewarded for this. And therefore tzarech lizor li'omra kalocha. And he goes on and he says, v'geder l'zeh, if you want to make sure that you recite the brachas with the right kavana, what's the counsel, the advice that I could give you? To recite the bracha b'kol ram. You know, some people whisper the bracha. Kol ram means to raise your voice. Ki akol ma'or kavana. When you say something out loud, it brings you to a state of intention. And not only that, he says you'll gain something else if you say the bracha out loud. V'yeda, he'll know for sure, nechona in berach. Because very often we forget, did I make the bracha, did I not make the bracha? It happens to me all the time. Especially in Birkas HaShachar, which you recite in the morning. V'lo yikadei specific, he wants to avoid a situation of doubt, whether he did fulfill the mitzvah of bracha or not. V'yiyah zoche, he'll be zoche in making the bracha when he has to, because he said it b'kol ram, and he'll know whether he made the bracha. U'mezakeh, and he'll also give a reward to others. Lanos Achrof Omen. If you remember, we discussed the Pelioids on Omen. He gives others by saying it out loud the ability to recite Omen. So I wanted to spend a few minutes on this last point of saying the bracha out loud to be sure that you'll guarantee that you remember that you made the bracha. Now, you may have heard of a famous magid. The magid is hard to define in English, but someone who gives mussar and he's a public speaker by the name of Rav Shalom Shvadron. Have you heard of him? In fact, one of the great magidim today, who's Rabbi Pesach Kron, who's a Talmud of Rav Shvadron, he published 4 English books called The Magid Speaks, all based on what he heard from Rav Shalom Shvadron. So I have a piece here, a story that Rav Shalom Shvadron tells about a certain Rabbi Yaakov who lived in Yerushalayim, and Ish Tzadik Hayah. Rav Shvadron describes him as a great tzaddik. Now the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in that time, it's about a century ago, was Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel came from a city called Salant, and he settled in Yerushalayim. He was the great rabbi who presided over the Beis Din in Yerushalayim. And this Rav Yaakov that we spoke about, Jolino was his name, and he came in front of the rabbi Rav Shmuel Salant, and he says the following: what should I do if after my night meal, last night, my dinner, I did not recite Birkas HaMazon? So Rav Shmuel Salant responds to him, I don't get it. What do you mean you didn't recite Birkas HaMazon? You're a person that's always meticulous, makpid, on a regular basis to recite a bracha on a piece of bread. In fact, you are makpid to take a shlema. The best way of fulfilling the bracha on bread is to take a complete bread. That applies the whole year. I'm sorry, the whole week long, not just on Shabbos. And he says the following: Shov, I want you to go home, lebeischa, to your house, v'tivdok, and check out. And when you investigate the situation, I have no doubt that you'll find that your loaf of bread is shlema. It's still in the original state of being whole. V'lo achalto, and you didn't eat it. Now imagine, this Rav Yaakov comes to the Rebbe, and to the Rav of the Shtot, and he asks him, what do? I didn't make Birkas HaMazon. The Rav says, go home, and you're going to find out that you didn't even eat. That's why you don't remember if you benched. So Rav Yaakov goes back home, and he finds, it's on the bottom of your page, number 2, he finds that, Bamis, that's exactly what had happened. The reason why he didn't make Birkas HaMazon is because he never ate. So the people asked Rav Shmuel Salant, how did you know such a thing? The man came to you and he told you after his meal he didn't bench. What should he do? And you tell them that you'll find out, which in fact exactly what happened, that you didn't eat. So Rav Shmuel says the following, very sharp. He says, I know about Rav Yaakov that he can forget to eat, but I also know about him that he can never forget to bench. What happened? Rav Yaakov came home that night and he had his meal set up for him. He was about to eat. And then a shliach came, a messenger came, knocking on his door from the Rav of Brisk. The Rav of Brisk, his name is Rav Velvel, came to settle in Yerushalayim in his last days. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This is the Rav of Brisk before Rav Velvel. His name was Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin. Nice name, right? And Rabbi Yeshua Leib sent a shliach and called this Rabbi Yaakov to come immediately, urgently to see him. So Rabbi Yaakov, who was just about to eat his meal, got up from his chair and he ran out to see Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. The next morning, he began to scratch his head and say, wait, I didn't bench. Yeah, the reason why he didn't bench is because he didn't eat. And this is something that Rav Shmuel Salant knew. He knew that he could forget. Rav Shmuel knew about Rav Yaakov that he could possibly forget to eat. Whether he ate or not, he might not remember. But he will remember whether he benched or not. In other words, a person who's really dedicated to brachos, we were discussing here the bracha lefaneh, the bracha that you recite before you eat. Here in this case, we're talking about the bracha after you eat. But it doesn't matter. It's the same principle. If you're very meticulous and very careful about brachos, you're not going to forget whether you made the bracha or not. And in the case of Yaakov, for sure, he would not forget whether he made the bracha. In fact, he didn't make the bracha. But the reason why he didn't make the bracha is because he didn't eat. That's something that he could forget.
Why do you think that he had eaten? Why did he imagine that he had eaten?
Because again, you know, to him eating was was insignificant. In fact, he didn't eat. And that's why he had this whole suffix. He got confused. He thought, well, I must have eaten because I had to have eaten dinner. He didn't pay any attention. But I don't remember benching. Rav Shmuel said, if you had to bench, you would remember that you benched. The answer is that you didn't have to bench because you didn't eat. You can get confused about whether you ate or not. And when they checked out the story, they found out that he rushed out of his house because he was summoned by Rabbi Shmuel Fiskin. And in fact, his loaf of bread was a shlema, was perfectly whole, indicating that he didn't eat. Okay. Now, if you turn the page to the other side of the Peleoids, right back to the Peleoids. So he tells you another few things, very important points, about eating and drinking. First of all, he says that he should be very careful to take his bread and dip it into salt. Okay, that's alkol karbonecha tochal melach. Our table is like a mizbeach. And just like in the mizbeach, because of the holiness of the carbon, we have to dip the meat into salt. So too, our bread should be dipped into salt. Number two, and this is very important. He says when we sit at our table to eat a meal, because of the awe and the respect that we have for the table, meaning our meal is going to be elevated to the status of a sudas mitzvah, it's like a mizbeach. He's sitting at the table of God, and Hashem is present. Therefore, we have to be very disciplined about how we show up at the table. You know, a lot of people will come to the table half naked. He says, there's a maisa with Rabbi Yisrael Najjar. There's a street here named after this Rabbi Yisrael. My son lives on that street. It's called Rehov Najjara. And it was at the time of the Arizal. This is 5 centuries ago. Now this Rabbi Yisrael Najjar was such a great holy person that when he would sing at his table in his beautiful voice, the Malachi Ashores would come to join him at the table. The angels were there. And it was almost like the case of the Chasam V'Kala, that the Chasam V'Kala are accompanied by the Malachi. But on one particular occasion, for some reason, unknown to us, maybe because it was very hot in the city of Tzfat, Rabbi Yisrael came to the table with short sleeves. And all of a sudden, the voice went out in Shamayim, and the Malachi Ashores ran away from his table. Because since God was at his table, out of the holiness of this Suda, and now he's sitting at the table without covering his arms. That was considered mamayit b'kvod shamayim. It was diminishing the kvod of shamayim. She'eni yoshev b'kavod al shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. And therefore the malachim flew away. Now it's not clear to me how far from the house of Rabbi Yisrael Najjar did the Ari live. But either way, even if he lived far away, he saw from his house what went on. That the Malachim ran away from the table of Rabbi Yisrael. And he revealed to Rabbi Yisrael the following secret. He said, because Rabbi Yisrael was so shooken up by this experience, when the Malachim ran away, they fled. So Rabbi Yisrael decided to put on the most beautiful clothes that he had, kishedes atzmo v'yosha v'kovet, and he sat in all kovet. And he started singing again. And the Malachi Asharis returned to his table like they were there before. And therefore, says the Peleoites, even if we can't live on the level of Rabbi Yisrael Najjar, but nevertheless, we should be very careful about how we treat the table. And a person who is endowed with fear of God, he should say, Dvar Hashem, Kavod, there's a Kavod here for Hashem. He should sit, B'derech Eretz. He says people who are just gluttonous, they sit down and they fret and they eat in any sort of way. They're not careful, they're not disciplined. That's something that you have to avoid. That kind of behavior of the gluttonous people who are called here Avtanim and Gargarim, that's typical of Esav. Esav, it says, Haliteni na, you know, give me the red stuff. And he immediately devours it. And that's called Nivze v'nimas v'yene elokim v'yoda. That's something that's repulsive, and that's not to be tolerated. We have to be very careful about how we eat at the table. But now we're up to the next paragraph, V'chein. And this paragraph I find absolutely fascinating. Why? Because a Baal Musar usually talks to you about ethics and morals, how to fulfill the halacha in the most perfect, ideal way, and meticulous. This paragraph is about health. It could have been written by the Rambam himself. And that's what I want to study with you, the Rambam. But first I want to show you that he says the following. That a person should be very careful to eat lesova. Lesova means when he's hungry. V'lo yimalei kreso, he shouldn't fill up his belly until he gets to the point where if he'd eat the next thing, he would regurgitate. It's called an achila gasa. That belongs to the domain of the Rishoyim, of the evil people. And it belongs to the domain of Holech al Gachon, which means the animals. They're totally motivated by the Yetzer Hara, and all they want to do is eat. And he goes on to say that we have to be very careful about what we eat. First of all, he says, if we eat too much, we're wasting our time. Secondly, we're wasting the food. That food is baltashkas. We're not allowed to destroy it. It was there in order to satiate us. But if we go beyond satiation, because we're motivated just simply to eat, that's baltashkas. Furthermore, he says, yiskalkel ha'itztumcha. His intestines, his stomach, will become kilkel, will become destroyed. Yechlev yomos. As a result of these intestinal diseases, if he gouges himself, he will get sick and he'll die. And then he's committing suicide. Lachain, therefore, shomer nafsho, he should be very careful to protect his nefesh, meaning protect his life force. Yirchak me'achilu shtia maruba, he should go far away from overeating. V'lo yochal, he shouldn't eat elik sheyirav, when he's hungry. V'lo yochal ad sheyizbel legamre, he shouldn't eat until the point where he's totally satiated. El pachos mi'ach. He should leave a little bit extra, you know, where he could still eat more. All this is about health. So I want to take a minute, or more than a minute, and possibly, how much time do we have? Almost 25 minutes. I want to dedicate that time to the Rambam. And I don't know if you know this, but the Rambam's dietary recommendations, because he was such a great physician, have become quite popular today. And there are even non-Jewish sources that are studying the Rambam. The Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in Hilchos Deos. Now you have to understand the significance of Hilchos Deos. The Rambam sets up Hilchos Deos before Hilchos Talmud Torah, as if to say that this is the introduction to Torah study. Torah study is the most important mitzvah that we have. And the Rambam says that a person, I'm not going to read all the language of the Rambam, but if you have the text inside, you can see it on the last page that I gave you. And it should say number 3 on top. I mean, it'll say number 2 on top, but then below that it'll say number 3. Hoil, the Rambam says, since the goof has to be healthy, and it has to be shalom, it has to be complete, and that's the Darkei Hashem, that's the way God wants it. This is a fulfillment of the will of God to be healthy. Because a person can't spend his time dedicated to contemplation, to know God, and to know about God's creation, and to study His Torah, if he's a chol, if he's sick. Therefore, he has to do everything to avoid illness. He has to be far away from anything that could destroy his body. He has to make sure that his behavior pattern is such that it'll bring him to health, and if he's ill, it'll bring him back to health. And therefore, li'olam lo yochal adam el kshurayv. There's no doubt in my mind that the Peleoitz here was quoting the Rambam. And the Rambam again was 8 centuries earlier. The Rambam says, don't eat unless you're hungry. Don't drink unless you're thirsty. Not only that, if you have to go to the washroom, don't delay it even for one moment. And if you have to urinate, he says, or defecate, whatever it might be, don't delay it. Immediately go and do so. Don't eat until you fill your belly completely, but rather leave over a quarter of your belly that's not satiated. You should only fill up your belly 3/4 of the way. And the Rambam goes on to say that day and night, which constitutes 24 hours, a person has to sleep 1/3, that means 8 hours. And the Rambam seems to imply that you should not be sleeping more than 8 hours. There's research now, I don't know if you've read about it, that sleeping more than 8 hours is not healthy for the body. This is scientific research.
No, it's not, but sleeping 8 hours is healthy for the body.
But not more, not 9 hours.
What if you sleep 3 hours this night?
Oh, I see. You mean, do you have another 5 for the next night that you could add?
You know, you're just...
Like if you have a night shift, like my son who's in emergency medicine.
Well, yeah, so you sleep 3 hours this night, and the next night you're just exhausted.
Right, so then maybe add the 3 hours to the 8th. But on a normal average situation, the Rambam says 8 hours is sufficient. That's 1/3 of your day. And not only that, he says you shouldn't go to sleep too early. You should calculate backwards from sunrise. So calculate from sunrise backwards 8 hours. So let's say, for example, at midnight it's 12, and then at 8 a.m. is sunrise in certain parts of the year, in certain times of the year, in certain parts of the world. So then go to sleep at midnight. That's the Rambam's view. And then the Rambam says that if you sit idly and you don't do amelut, amelut means exercise, that's going to be very bad for you. Then the Rambam goes on to say that even if he eats healthy food, but he's got to do a lot of other things, like we said before, that ochal, afilu ochal macholos tovim, v'shomer atzma pi arafua kol yomov. He says if you don't do exercise, you're not going to be healthy. Then he goes on to say that achila gasa, if you eat when you're absolutely satiated, is l'gufo shel adam kmo sam hamavis. It's like a toxic, deadly poison. And he says that the main problem that generates all illness is people who eat, if a person eats when he's absolutely satiated. And he says the following: most diseases that we suffer from are either because he eats when he's already satiated, he's not hungry, or because he eats things that are unhealthy for the body, or because he eats achila gasa. Now you might turn on the side here, there's a hemshake to the Rambam. This is an unbelievable statement of the Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of this chapter, which is dedicated to health, kol amanig atzma bidrachim elu, if you follow my advice, and he arevlo, I'm a co-signer, a guarantor, she'eno bo lidei chole, that he will not fall ill, kol yomov, ad she'yazkin harbe v'yomos, until he gets very old and he dies of old age. The Rambam says, I promise you, eno tzarech l'rofe, he'll never need a physician. This is what's called prevention is 9/10 of prevention, 9/10 of cure.
Prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Cure. That all comes from the Rambam, you should know. The Gufo Shalom, I promise you, your body will be healthy. The Omen Al Burio Kol Yomav, you'll be healthy all your days. So why do people get sick? Elim Ken, there are exceptions to the rule. There's something called Gufo Ra Mitchilas Briyoso. He had a hereditary disease. His genetic structure, he was born sick. That's an exception to the rule. The Rambam says, I'm not going to give you any guarantees. Oh, another case is Hoya Noeg From his very youth, he was trained to do bad things. Like we said before, you know, he was trained, you know, to delay this or to eat to this. Oh, says the Rabban, in tovo makas dever, o makas batzoros liol, unless the earth is affected by a plague. Now, I just want to tell you about this idea that the Rabban guarantees you, if you follow his advice, you'll be healthy if you eat properly and drink properly. So I want to tell you two stories, which you'll see here, numbers 6 and 7 on the bottom of your page. One story is told about Rav Halberstam, who was the Av Bezin of Tzanz. He was known as Rav Chaim Tzanzer, one of the major Gedolim in his time. And he gave a tshuva drasha. And in the middle of his tshuva drasha, he made a comment. He says, I want to tell the people that I am, Baruch Hashem, very healthy, and the reason I'm healthy is because I follow all the recommendations of the Rambam. Another story I want to tell you is about a Gaon, a genius, who lived about a century ago. His name is Rabbi Yoel Devichov, and he was in White Russia. And he observed meticulously all the health rules of the Rambam, and he lived till 100. He died in the year Tofresh Ayin Hei, which is about 100 years ago. And he said about the Rambam that if you take the word Rambam and you calculate its mathematical value, which is called Gematria, it's the same as the word Rofe. But he adds a very important point. He says that the Rambam was a double Rofe. He was a double physician. He was, number one, a physician for Refuas Haguf, for the physical, but he was also a rofe for a fuas ha-nefesh, which what we call today a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So what I want to point out to you here is an insight of Rabbi Eliel Lapyan. I don't know if you ever heard of Rabbi Lapyan. He was one of the great mashgichim here in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked the following question. This you don't have on your page, so I'll just say it over very quickly. There's a Rashi in Parshas Bereishis that speaks about Chanoch. Chanoch was one of the early human beings to live on this earth. And the Pasuk says, Vayisaleh Chanoch es Elokim ve'einenu. Ki lukach os Elokim. That God took his life prematurely. So Rashi says, wait a minute. It says, Vayisaleh Chanoch Elokim. He followed in the footsteps of God. He was a great tzaddik. So why did God take him prematurely? So Rashi says, Hayakal bedaito lashuv l'arshia. Because in his youth, he was apparently influenced by the idol worshippers. And even though now he got his act together and he was Vaisale Chanoch Elokim, he wasn't totally committed. You know, he was still on the verge of perhaps falling back into his old rut. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Memayer, quickly took him out of this world, he killed him prematurely so that he would remain a tzaddik. So Rav Eliel Lapyan asks Akash on Rashi. We have a principle, it's one of the fundamentals of our faith, called Bechirach of Shit. Man is granted with freedom of choice. And a man in a situation of temptation, of the possibility of being allured to do evil, he has to choose the good. And that's a man's service his whole life. So why would God take away a person's life because he's going to be challenged? I mean, that's exactly what man is meant to do. He's meant to face the challenges and overcome them. So in order to understand this story of Rashi about Chanoch, Rav Eliel Lapyan asks a question. And he says the following. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says, Al tamin bi'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Don't believe in yourself until the day you die. And the Gemara illustrates that there was a Kohen Gadol by the name of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. He served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And at the end he became a tztuki. A tztuki are those who deny Torah Shebaal Peh. Says Rav Eliel Lapyan, that's against the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says that when a person gets to the point where most of the years of his life have passed, let's say if he's going to live to 100, he's already 60 years old, velochot, and he didn't sin, shuvenachote, he'll never sin again. Now here's Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who after 80 years of serving as a Kohen Gadol, let's say he started serving when he was 20, he's at the end of his life, and now he becomes a tzduki, that contradicts the principle of kevan sheyatzu rov shnosim shel adam, velochot, shuvenachote. Says Rav Lapian, the answer lies in this Rambam that we just studied about health. The Rambam says that if you follow all my instructions, you are guaranteed health, unless the earth is overcome by a plague. Once there's a plague in the earth, you can be very healthy, but unfortunately you'll be impacted by the Dever, by the Batsoris, by these plagues. Says Rav Eliyahu Plan, the same thing applies to psychological and spiritual health. If a person follows all the laws meticulously and he's dedicated and committed to serve Hashem, he's guaranteed health in the spiritual realm. Unless there's a magefa, unless there's some sort of a storm or a plague that takes over the world. What would be such a storm? That's called the tzedukim. The tzedukim became so popular and so powerful, and they denied, as I said before, Torah Shebaal Peh. That was like a plague. And as a result of that plague, Chanoch, although he was a tzaddik, would be swept away by the influence of the tzedukim. Just like we saw Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that he lived at a time where the tzedukim was so powerful and persuasive, these missionaries, that it was almost impossible to hold your own. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Kohen Gadol, even though 80 years of his life as Kohen Gadol passed by, it was certainly Rov Shnosov, but we can no longer guarantee that it would remain dedicated to the Amunah, to the faith in God, because of this plague that would just overwhelm him, the plague and the popularity of the widespread Tzedukim belief. The same thing happened with Chanoch. Chanoch was put here to face the challenges that are normal, that are rugged. And he could do so, and he did so, and he was a tzaddik, as halach elokim, as elokim. But then came the period of the mabul, of the flood. At the period of the mabul, there was such a powerful influence of evil that Chanoch, because he was like a baal tshuva, he would not be able to sustain himself at the time of the mabul. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm going to take your life now because you've already fulfilled your purpose in life. You've already proven yourself that you will overcome all of those temptations and inclinations and make yourself into a tzaddik. If I let you live, that's not a situation of freedom of choice. You will have no freedom of choice. You'll be like a person who dedicated his life to the health rules of the Rambam, but then at the end he died in a plague. And if he died in a plague, the Rambam says, there's nothing I can do for you. Here also, God says you're going to be so impacted by the mabul, it's going to sweep you away, Chanoch, that I can't expect you to live up to that challenge. You've already faced all the challenges of your life until this point. Now's the time I'm going to take your life.
At the time of the mabul, all people perished. So the fact that he perished here because the mabul came. He wasn't an exception to the rule of the mabul. The mabul came and mocked everyone.
Well, no, the mabul, there was a period in which the people on earth were perpetrating evil. Ki hishkis kol basar esdar kol ha'aretz. Now, if Chanoch would have lived through that period of time, he would have died as a rasha. He would have been an evildoer. He would have been so impacted. It's like a plague that you can't maintain your health when everyone around you has a contagious, terrible disease. Like the Black Plague you've heard of back in the time of Europe and so forth and so on. So what Hashem said is, you know what? You achieved with your bechirach of shit, with your freedom of choice, exactly what I asked you to do.
You mean they died before the flood?
And he died before the period of the flood. Yeah. I'm not talking about the flood itself. Chanoch
died in the plague before the flood.
What I'm saying is that let's say we'll talk about a period of 100 years. I'm just talking about a number up until the flood. During that 100 years, people perpetrated evil, and the atmosphere was so powerful, and the influence was so intense that even someone like Chanoch, who was a tzaddik, would not be able to overcome that, that he would be swept away. It's like a plague. You were absolutely dedicated to the health rules of the Rambam. You were a loyal fan of the Rambam, and you did everything you did. You're going to die anyway, because in a plague, nobody survives. And the influence, the spiritually devastating influence of that period of time that led up to the Mahul was so powerful, it was like a plague, that even someone who's a tzaddik like Chanoch would not be able to survive it. That would not be a normal choice decision of Bechira Chofshes, of freedom of choice. So as far as the normal period of time in which Chanoch lived until his age, he achieved with his freedom of choice the level of a tzaddik. He was able to overcome any temptations and any evil. But to allow him to live beyond that, that would be a freedom of choice that's way beyond human possibility. That there's no way that Chanoch could do so. It's like a person who is the greatest health freak in the world, but if there's a plague, you know, that's very contagious, there's nothing you can do about it.
Or a tsunami or something, it just washes everybody.
Right, a tsunami, excellent. Yeah, right. You know, some sort of natural tsunami. So let's just summarize a few things that we covered tonight. And then I want to finish up with a discussion here about the Rambam's health and nature rules and laws. What we've learned tonight is that the Peli Yoetz gives you spiritual guidance explaining the potential of man to take regular eating and uplift it to the level of a Sudas Mitzvah. We saw that there's certain tzaddikim who would never forget to make a bracha. The Peli Yoetz encourages us to make the bracha with the right kavana, that we want to be healthy, we want to serve God, we want to be elevated, we feel an awesome sense that our table is like Lifnei Hashem, it's like a mizbech in front of God, we're going to say all our brachas with tremendous meticulous care, word for word, for the sake of Hashem. When we say the name of God and enunciate it, we'll be overwhelmed by the fear and the awe of reciting, of enunciating the name of God. And we saw that the Rambam picks up on this idea of eating for the sake of health. And the Rambam says you have to be very careful, follow these rules that I guide you with. Never eat when you're not hungry. Never eat beyond a certain point of satiation. 3/4 of the stomach should be full. The Rambam guarantees you, if you follow my rules, you will definitely live to a ripe old age. You will not get ill. And if you see a person who followed the Rambam's, and nevertheless he died, it's because of any number of reasons. Maybe he has genetic diseases that he was born with. Maybe during his youth they trained him in a very bad way about how to eat and his customs of eating. Maybe he died as a result of the tsunami. And therefore we said that there's a tsunami in the physical world, there's a tsunami in the moral, psychological world. That was the period of the time in the Mabul. Chanoch's life was taken away because of the powerful influence of the tsunami, influence of the Dara Mabul of that generation. And Hashem took him prematurely so that he can guarantee that Chanoch goes up to heaven as a tzaddik because he used his Bechira Chofshes properly all his life. We mentioned that there were certain greats that said about themselves that the reason why they were healthy and they lived to an old age was because they followed the Rambam's recommendations. And they were dedicated to the Rambam, Rambam the Gematria Rofe. He is the ultimate physician. Let's just conclude with number 5, if you'll see it, which is on the first of these two pages here. And this is a statement of one of the great Bali Musar amongst the Sephardic Jews. His name was Abarjil, Rabbi Elio. And he quotes the Rambam that we saw before. And he says, why did the Rambam dedicate an entire chapter to health laws in Hilchas Deos, almost as an introduction to Hilchas Talmud Torah? And he says the answer is because this is a fundamental belief of the Torah. The entire halachic system is predicated on Briyu Social Adam, on man's health. That's the yesod of all of Torah and of Talmud Torah. As the Rambam points out, and we saw this before, a person cannot be healthy, if he's not healthy, and if he's not eating properly, he's not going to be able to dedicate himself to Yediyas HaBorei, to follow the knowledge of God, and to study his Torah. And he concludes by quoting a letter of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish says the following. Hidini Choshev, it's my opinion, says the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish lived, died about 50 years ago, here in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Hidini Choshev et ha-hishtadlut ha-tiv'it, all the effort a person puts into health, how do I consider it? How much significance do I attribute to it? He says, it's a mitzvah v'chova, ke'achas ha-chovos. It's no less of a mitzvah than any other mitzvah. It's, you know, you should treat it with the same sincerity and seriousness and severity. Ke'echad ha-chovos la-hashlim tzuras ha-ono. Everything in the Torah is to perfect the structure of man, meaning the spiritual makeup of man. But this mitzvah of eating healthy, etc., is not less. It doesn't fall shy of all the other mitzvahs that are meant to guarantee us the hashlamas tzuras ha-onam. And he says, "Vadigduk al emtzei abriut, being careful and meticulous about anything that can guarantee your health. He avoda is considered a service of God, ahuva l'fan of Yisparach, beloved in the eyes of God." So it means that a person should never be lighthearted about his health. If he is, he's undermining a basic mitzvah in the Torah, which is actually the foundation of all the other mitzvahs of Talmud Torah. That's why the Rambam has it here at the very beginning of Hilchos Tehillah. So I want to wish you my blessing to you and to myself and all of our friends and all of our communities, that we should follow in the footsteps of the Peleoites and the footsteps of the Rambam. And we should guarantee that we do all our efforts in order to be healthy and serve Hashem with the proper intentions. Kein yiratzon.
Amen. Well, that makes me feel better.
Say again?
That makes me feel better.